It makes me sick just saying these words, but we do have to talk about it, do we not? The proposed new Ute tax. The Australian government, apparently not content to rest on its laurels and bask in the glow of its recent minority-appeasing referendum, which of course failed so spectacularly, because most of us aren't woke. Senior executive CO2 whisperer Chris Bowen and the mighty Albo, who is, of course, Australia's second worst choice for PM behind PDUT, are devoting their energies henceforth to driving up the cost of new cars with an exciting fake ute tax to be imposed by stealth on your ute, your 4x4. It just doesn't seem fair somehow. Senior Canberra clowns seek to impose about $35 billion in net penalties on the car industry over the next few years for selling you the vehicles you want. Because, hey, we live in a democracy and freedom of consumer choice is supposed to be a thing. Of course, the car industry is going to pass those penalties immediately on to you because ultimately the consumer pays, and that's you, dude. This means everything's going to go up, of course, not just utes. Tradies will need to charge you more for extracting that giant turd stuck in your sewer. And couriers will be forced to charge you more to deliver that revolutionary new rubber dog shit you just had to have from China when you saw it on Amazon half-tanked last Friday evening. Those planet-saving peanuts and their double-digit IQs are calling it a fuel efficiency standard, of course, but I feel they need to be more honest about it. This is really just another tax on you, the motorist. It's a tax that's lying about being a fuel efficiency standard. I'm John Logan from AutoExpert.com.au. Newcastle cheap, Australia only. Website, come on. You know when you vomit in the back of your throat? Like, not the full head pirouetting Linda Blair, Exorcist, projectile, Technicolor yawn or anything. Just a little bit of vestigially uncommanded reflux with a couple of chunks of carrot in it perhaps and maybe even a cheeky half-digested pea. Yeah? Well, I found myself doing exactly that this morning because there I was, agreeing with notoriously undead opposition leader PDUT and T-Dub, who is, of course, the car industry's Darth Vader. That's not something I'm typically inclined to do or happy about, but facts are facts and we need to respect them above all else, otherwise the epistemology of reality is rooted, so we need to align ourselves with the facts, irrespective of whose frickin' side they land on. PDUT's cologne, of course, so distinctive. Bespoke fragrance from Chanel called Embrace of Death. Just a cheeky hint of formaldehyde over three-week-old dead roses. It's simple and yet so right, dude. You can always tell it's him inbound if you are downwind. Him or perhaps the Grim Reaper. And T-Dub, dude, so friggin' versatile. Always on tour in Fishwick with the Spice Girls, playing those exclusive clubs. Crack of dawn, head in the clouds. The Meat Society. It's invitation only, like you have to know a guy who knows a guy. When they cover the Bee Gees Staying Alive, it's very stimulating. I don't know how he hits those high notes. I could speculate, but I won't. Scary and posh, though. They're really just the metaphoric testicles on that number, bouncing along for the ride. T-Dub is the real driving force down there. You know it really is bullshit o'clock, don't you, when a person such as me finds himself trapped on the same side of a friggin' debate as starchy Voldemort in the car industry's principal reach-arounderer, if that's a word. This report is sponsored by NordVPN. Get 4 extra months of Nord free now at nordvpn.com/AEJC. Cyber threats are very real and we are all exposed to them every day. But you absolutely do not have to be the next victim. You need countermeasures, and that's what NordVPN does in the background. You don't need to understand it, you just need the protection. Data encryption, hidden IP address, everything locked down, nice and secure. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Grab the 2-year plan at a massive discount, plus 4 extra months free, and an additional surprise gift. I don't know what it is. Let me know if you sign up. NordVPN.com/AEJC. Link in the description. You subscribe, you download the app, and you connect. One click later, your IP address is shielded and your online traffic is masked with NSA-level encryption across as many as 6 of your devices. Nord is, of course, the fastest VPN on the planet, and it costs only about as much as one cup of coffee every month to keep your data, your identity, and your devices secure. Your location will be masked, and this means you'll be able to access streaming and other services that might be blocked where you live. Plus, you can continue to watch your favorite content when you travel. You might even be able to score great deals on travel and accommodation, which are not offered at home. That kind of thing happens all the time. Go to nordvpn.com/AEJC now. Boost your online security and enjoy that discount plus those extra 4 months of free subscription time and that surprise gift. It's totally risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/AEJC. Link in the description. Thanks very much to Nord for sponsoring this report. With this Ute tax, the government is going to fine car makers if they don't sell enough EVs and hybrids, basically. They want to drive light vehicle CO2 emissions down by 60% by 2029. And that sounds great, I guess, as a soundbite on the news. But out here in objective reality where change takes time, it's completely unrealistic. And it will not help planetary scale climate change at all. Pro tip on all of this. Transport is about 20% of our nation's CO2 total emissions. Light vehicles such as cars, SUVs and utes are about half of that. These are facts. So they're taking a hard line on 10% of the problem. And yet, at the same time, so-called fugitive emissions from mines, for example, which is coal mines essentially farting methane, that is just as big an emissions issue as light vehicles. And they're doing, as far as I can tell, sweet fuck all about that. Agriculture. Agriculture is double the emissions from cars, dude, double. Fuck all about that, insofar as I can see. Energy in industry, like burning coal to drive industrial processes. For example, the refinement of ethanol from wheat in Nowra, which is a thing. That's where your E10 comes from if you're a New South Welsh person. Those processes in total that require heat, they emit more than double the CO2 from light vehicles. And the government seemingly has no fucks to give about this either. Electricity now, that's more than triple the emissions from light vehicles. But when you look at it, the real glacé cherry on the icing of the Australian CO2 cake is we are the preeminent global exporter of coal and LNG. And these Canberra clowns pretend to care about CO2, but they push it on the rest of the world with greater enthusiasm than any drug dealer with a boot full of fresh crystal fucking meth. And I'm not saying that we should not sell those hydrocarbon resources. We should, because they are essential to lifting some of the poorest people on the planet out of abject poverty. And it's pretty hard to care about climate change when your kids are starving or when they're really sick and there's no doctor. And here in Australia, right, you can't imagine living like that, incidentally. And yeah, we make money out of those exports, but think about the social cost of not doing it just for a moment. And those exported hydrocarbons are also vital to the manufacturing of civilization, like the fundamental building blocks of civilization, the steel, the concrete, and the high heel shoes worn by strippers. Without those hydrocarbons, dude, all of that goes away. And you really like those shoes, admit it. So do I. We're back in caves, dying before 30 on average, and the strippers are all wearing Dunlop Volleys. Nobody wants that. I'm pointing this out. Like, these are all facts, okay? You don't have to like them. They're still facts. I'm pointing this out to highlight Chris Bowen's breathtakingly hypocritical position on CO2 in respect of cars, as opposed to the other 90% of the quote-unquote problem onshore, and our role globally as a key exporter of hydrocarbons and what that does for our freaking economy. Of course, he has the considerable intellectual grunt of Albo for backup whenever he might need it.
What does the future look like? And the future in many ways can be here right now, be very clear, is solar panels on the roof charging your vehicle for free overnight. That's what it looks like.
And that is why they're geniuses and get paid the big bucks, and we're not, and we don't. Because he knows where those free solar panels are, and he knows how to make them work at night. That really is genius. Anyway, T-Dub, in between Hip to Be Square and Play That Funky Music, got his chaps at the Bullshit Factory in Kingston to model the genius CO2 Whisperer's proposed new tax. I mean, efficiency standard. It's $38 billion in fines to car makers over the next 5 years, minus about $3.5 billion in bullshit CO2 credits, like giving Tesla and Polestar a bit of a reach around under the table, for a total penalty which the car industry will pass on to you of about $35 billion net Australian dollars over 5 years. All because you want another ute, you freaking bogan bastard. Now, you might be some closet, I don't know, pro-EV nut job, and that is absolutely allowed. But if you are that nutjob, the Australian median car buyer is not you, okay? And we live in a democracy, and consumer choice is a thing. This stealth ute tax, I would argue, is the minority-appeasing, woke shithead referendum style of doing business all over again. Ordinary median Aussies do not buy EVs. They don't want EVs. The data is in. It's kind of unequivocal. The top-selling vehicles in this country were, last year, in order, Ford Ranger, Toyota Hilux, Isuzu D-Max, Toyota RAV4, MG ZS, Tesla Model Y, Toyota Land Cruiser, Mitsubishi Outlander, Mazda CX-5, and Hyundai Tucson. That's about a quarter of all new vehicle sales, incidentally, wrapped up in that top 10 vehicle snapshot. One of those 10 is obviously electric, and two more are available in electric or plug-in hybrid versions, but mainly sold as combustion, and one more is available as a conventional hybrid. So, very generously, if I take those four completely out of that top 10 mix, the big, heavy, combustion-only shitters comprise 227,000-ish out of about 339,000 top 10 sales. And I'm being entirely generous here because not all RAV4, Outlander and MG ZS sales were the green variants, obviously. More than half of the top 10 vehicle sales last year were three frickin' diesel utes and a Land Cruiser. And I'm not seeing any headlines screaming, exciting electric 4x4 ute alternative under development, expected by 2027 or something. Or Toyota balls deep in electric Land Cruiser R&D upgrade. Perhaps I just need to pay more attention. In fact, senior car makers like Ford and GM, you know, they're big hitters on the global stage. They're sprinting away from making vehicles such as those because Americans simply don't want them. Johnny and Hank just don't sound the same. in an F-150 Lightning, dude. They don't. So this policy is also thinly veiled social engineering, another thing the left is renowned for, even though its attempts to do it always backfire and get it unelected. And then embrace of death is gonna be the PM, and nobody wants that. So Labor needs urgently to unfuck itself here, in my view. They're trying to change the vehicles you buy, not because there's a better alternative, right? They're doing keyhole surgery, going in through the wallet, by artificially hiking the price of vehicles that some Canberra clown just doesn't want you to own because net zero, shit yeah. Chris Bowen and his astonishing IQ are attempting to sell this policy on the basis of the cost of living benefit. The short version of that is, greater fuel efficiency means paying less for fuel, so you save money and can therefore afford an additional zero Dunlop volley lap dance every week or something, right? However, someone should stand up at the National Memorial to the Death of Integrity in Public Life, in my estimation, and tell all politicians that new car buyers are basically immune to and unaffected by cost of living pressures because they're so fucking affluent. If you can buy a new car, dude, you've got money. If you've got 75 grand to dump on a Ranger Wildtrak or 120 grand plus to dump on a Toyota Land Cruiser, you can afford the fuel, dude. You might not like buying it, but hey, you're not going to go bad financially just fueling up once a week, are you? You can afford the fuel, you can afford the groceries, you can afford the interest rate hikes. So the mortgage, whatever, the lap dances, you are not doing it tough, right? You're just not. If you are doing it tough, incidentally, you just can't afford a new car. And therefore, a fuel efficiency standard would be of absolutely no benefit to you. Like none. Zippo, dude. Because you're driving a 20-year-old Hyundai Getz on its last legs because that's all you can afford. And we need to do something about that, but a fuel efficiency standard is not the thing that we need to do, obviously. Dressing this policy up as a cost of living benefit is therefore weapons-grade lefty bullshit, in my view, in order to misrepresent what this so-called new efficiency standard really is. It's just another under-the-table automotive tax. And that's worse than strippers in flat shoes. Appallingly enough. If senior shot-calling shitheads at the Memorial to Integrity get their way, this scheme is actually going to ascribe disgracefully tangible virtue in the form of zero emissions credits to preposterously wasteful EV shit heaps, such as the Polestar 3 and Polestar 4, and the morbidly obese advertisement for wastefulness we know as the Kia EV9. An EV9, right, it's basically heavier than a Land Cruiser Sahara ZX. That fat-assed Kia and those two porky Polestars have absurdly wasteful 100 kilowatt hour batteries. They're freaking huge, dude. The sheer weight of these vehicles and the quantity of precious materials in the batteries is a wicked assault on both efficiency and environmental stewardship at a deep, fundamental level. Plus, if anything goes wrong, they're basically rolling neurotoxic hazmat incidents. And there is no official plan to deal with that, by the way. Giving such preposterously overweight EVs like these a credit and penalising a Hilux, for example, is what happens when you make up policy in the complete and utter absence of respect for the facts. And if you do that, you're going to fuck it up. There's no alternative. Disgracefully so, in this instance, in my estimation. Ignorance, I guess, it's such a blessing. It liberates ministerial shitheads from obligations to the facts all the time.
They can therefore propose any kind of abject nonsense at press conferences and feel absolutely no shame. It's disgraceful. Bowen and Albo also have no fucking plan whatsoever to deal with battery waste. None. This is already a major issue in the waste industry, and it's set to get much worse. And of course, we are glibly told that the batteries are recyclable, kind of like plastic. Pro tip, the overwhelming majority of plastic is not recyclable. That so-called recycling symbol you see on the plastic bottles, number 2 for high-density polyethylene and PP for polypropylene, for example, that's not a recycling symbol at all, and it never frickin' has been. It's a polymer identification code which was designed by the plastics industry to look like the official recycling symbol. Do the research independently, dude. I'm not making this up. It's a fact. It's this way because they want you to feel good about putting the laundry detergent bottle in the yellow bin on its way to landfill or the ocean, whatever. Battery recycling is exactly like that. It's a shit sandwich of waste with no bread. If batteries were really attractive to recycle, if it was commercially viable, companies would be gagging for this precious resource. Like cash for old electronics would be a thing. Tradies would be getting a trade in on dead batteries at Bunnings because a dead battery would be a valuable resource. But that's not happening, is it? It's simply not happening anywhere in Australia. Nobody knows what to do with dead EV batteries. The car maker doesn't want to know about it, and neither do you, frankly. There's no mandated chain of custody or responsibility, whatever you want to call it. So, landfill, here we come. So, efficiency standard, shit yeah. But battery recycling mandate, dude, that's too hard, because the government can't make any money out of that. In spite of these considerable impediments, Chris Bowen seems quite keen to turn Australia into Europe, at least in relation to the vehicle mix which we buy, in just 6 years' time. Pro tip. How many pro tips have we had in this episode? Anyway, Australia is very different to Europe. Very few Ranger owners would be thrilled about their next vehicle being a Fiat 500 or something, or a van. There's also no plan to make EV use viable for the millions of people in the inner city who simply do not have viable charging options because they're forced to park on the street. And public charging infrastructure is so emphatically shit. If you think you'll see servos pop up with a dozen 150 kilowatt chargers just metastasizing all over town, you are deluding yourself. Where is the 2 megawatt electricity supply for each one of those servos going to come from? The latent capacity in the poles and wires doesn't exist. This is accelerating the uptake of EVs in the complete absence of a framework that makes them safe or viable. By slapping on what is effectively a new ute tax. But we don't have a safety plan in respect of the deployment. People won't be able to charge them because the infrastructure's kind of fucked. There's no rules about battery disposal, so lithium hexafluorophosphate in the groundwater with a cobalt chaser. Like, here we come, dude. Brave new world. Electric utopia. Funded by your next purchase of a Hilux now. It doesn't seem fair. You know how smartphones were better than flip phones, right? And flat screen TVs were a lot better than cathode ray tubes. That's why we didn't need fucked up government policies to drive their adoption. People are not flocking to EVs simply because they are worse than combustion. They're a worse consumer choice for most people. That's just a fact. We're doing fuck all about the main sources of CO2 emissions onshore, and because we continue to export coal and gas so prolifically, we look roughly as hypocritical as a drug dealer who won't tolerate cocaine in the house, but is actually quite happy to sling Ready Rock all over town to the kiddies when they come out of school. This bullshit Bowen tax is just one small additional evidentiary exhibit in support of the rest of the developed world's long-held contention that we proud sons and daughters of Anzacs are really just a nation of low-rent, redneck, hillbilly nutjobs living in a cultural void girt by enthusiastic strippers teetering on the brink of wearing friggin' Dunlop Vollies to work on the morrow, if we're not careful. Apart from that, this proposed new vehicle emission standard is a terrific idea. Approved. I can't wait to see it actually legislated.